Welcome to the Elite Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group, bringing you interviews with the best real estate and mortgage professionals, empowering you to understand the current trends in the housing market so that you make the American dream your reality. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to the Elite Real Estate Leaders Podcast. Today we have with us luxury real estate advisor Delroy Gill with Lib Sotheby's International Realty. Delroy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, guys. I am excited to be here.
Yes, I am as well. And I always love when people have a really distinct focus. And I want to hear all about what you do with luxury real estate and the clients you serve. But get started with first your story. What is your background and how did you get into the real estate industry?
Yeah, sweet. So I am born and raised in London, moved here many moons ago, back in the early 2000s. Got into real estate around 2011 as a practicing agent. Was an assistant first for a few years and then became a broker on a team. And at that time, it was still heavily deep in the recession, 2010, 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kept rolling on, didn't it?
Yeah, it kept on dragging out for a little while. So I primarily did short sales. So 100% of my business for the first 3 years was short sales and pre-foreclosures. I built up a brand called Your Hope Team back then. And we had a website where people would fill out their information and I would do free loan modifications. So that was how I generated leads at the time. And then unfortunately, some of those people, even once we did the loan modification, still could not pay their bills. And then we helped those individuals sell their home, turn around, they came back, rebuilt their credit. And I was able to, you know, curate that database of business and then transition into regular real estate. So going from very thick real estate files and carrying listings for 1 to 2 years through the short sale era to having a regular transaction was pretty eye-opening experience and closing a deal in 30 days. And I thought I could probably do a lot more of these if I had less paperwork and banks to call on a short sale deal versus a regular transaction. So transitioned into regular real estate and now I'm in luxury.
You know, I would probably say if we wanted to go deeper on transition into regular real estate, it's all real estate. You know, what you described was like this transformation of you being a hope dealer. You know, I love that hope that word that you use because they were in a desperate situation. You gave them a ray of hope and you served them. You taught them. You showed caring and empathy. You worked through there and some you helped, some you had to help further with other things. And then you probably could look back on that and go, wow, I developed relationships. And yes, that can lead to where you're focusing now on luxury, but probably all of these same traits and qualities apply to your luxury clients that you're working with right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, at the time when you were doing it, I was just coming from a place of compassion of like, again, I bought my first house and I probably got a pretty shoddy loan type at the time, not knowing any better as a first time home buyer. So I saw myself in them of like, once you get into real estate, you know, you really understand what mortgages are, what rates are, what a 5-year ARM is, a balloon is, a fixed rate, an adjustable rate. So I was basically helping those people in terms of like helping myself. Oh, if I would have known this, you know, here's how you get out of that situation now. So it was very rewarding. And, you know, it got very emotional at some, you know, these were people who tomorrow, you know, the cops could be showing up and throwing them out on the street. And we was having to stop that from happening in a very aggressive manner in dealing with the banks and police stations and everything to really help them. So, yes, very rewarding, built very, very deep connections and personal relationships with those clients. But I didn't definitely not at that time think I was building like a database or I'm doing leads or relationship. I was just like going through the motions and really just trying to help people. But definitely later on, as I grew it into, you know, a business in quotations at that point, I started to realize like, wow, I'm servicing these people. But now how do I service them better? And now I have this database. What do I do with it? And it came later on. Yes.
And if you could turn back time and go, ooh, I'm going to do all these things so that I could turn it into a database and luxury, it potentially would not have turned out this way because it would have felt contrived. It would have felt like formulaic. So I think that you came to that through the heart attitude of caring and serving and being empathetic, and it turned out that way. And we can look back on it in retrospect and say, oh, that worked well because I was teaching and all that. But I think that you came at it from that genuineness, authenticity, and that's why that the relationships now are strong.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I have a very deep connection with my clients and relationships in the business, and yeah, I would say that era, it kind of shaped how I run my real estate practice day to day, even to mm-hmm.
this. So I know you on your website and social media, you talk about being a referral agent. So I want to go deeper on that, but I first want to kind of bridge that gap between how you built those relationships from early on into making that bridge into working with luxury real estate. What was that transition like?
Yeah. So going from, and it kind of, these things all bleed into one, right? So, but mm-hmm. originally when we're doing the short sales and then we're helping rebuild credit and we're purchasing regular homes, the markets are now starting to increase. Price points are starting to go up. So wealth is being generated in the general marketplace. You know, now people are gaining big, massive leaps in equity in their business. You know, as I said, I transferred into it not from a place of, oh, how am I generating business here? So once I got further down the road, I started thinking, well, oh, yeah, let me actually realize what I did and dissect my business. And then I realized those people coming in were leads. And I was really providing some, not too many other agents were providing that, a free service, essentially, like doing loan modifications. That was a very, very high value for free. It was a lot of time just those loan modifications. So the value to risk from a client perspective was low and massive reward. So those leads were essentially easy to convert for me, right? Because I was just passionate about it. I was helping them. So it was just an ongoing thing and snowboard. Later on, once the markets became more stable, those things weren't necessary anymore. So I had to provide new values to this new database. And I didn't want to meet brand new people again like I did before because I don't have a passion for it now. Like, what am I doing? I'm not solving a massive problem. So my thought was,
yes,
those are leads. They were brand new and it worked. But now I have these people that I have relationships with. How can I get them to be walk-in advertisements for my business? I can just provide the best service. So my goal then was to convert from, as I said, a lead agent to a referral agent. And in doing that, that helped me transition into luxury. So it was really being conscious that now I'm not going to go after brand new faces who I've never met and show up at their house and offer this super high value. It's I'm going to give value to the people that I already know, that I've done a transaction with, that I already know, like, and trust me, and they feel like they can pass on my information to their friends or to their boss or to the CEO of their company and say, no, I would trust Delroy to handle your level of real estate transaction.
Yep.
And that is kind of, you know, that's one piece of how I was able to transfer that real estate practice from general day-to-day real estate, you know, sales numbers and average price points into the luxury price points.
It because was really- you partnered with strategic alliances and there was right. trust, there was credibility. So you mentioned referral agent. What is a referral agent?
Yeah, so I would consider anyone that has probably 50% or more of their business that is generated specifically from word of mouth. So meaning they don't pay any for any Zillow leads. They are not paying for any leads from like pay-per-click ads. They're doing Facebook ads, any type of online ads where you're meeting someone face-to-face and trying to either cold call, even open houses or anything where it's a cold interaction where you have no touch or warm up prior to the connection. I would say those are lead generation agents. I don't live or operate in that space. Every single person that I connect with is either reaching out to me because they've been told so by a friend or a relative or another real estate agent, or a past client or someone I have a relationship with in the marketplace has given me their information and said, hey, my friend was looking for somebody. I told them that you'd be reaching out to them. Mm-hmm. So that is 90% of my business. And then the other 10% of it comes from agents across the country.
Yeah.
They're still referral agents, but they're not direct, like in town.
You've paid your dues, put in the hard work. Now you're reaping the benefit of having done the right thing for so many years, because people, you know, word gets around. If you were not of good character, people wouldn't be saying call Delroy. So, you know, having 90% of your business coming in by referral only is huge. And it kind of makes me think about that other R word you said, not referral, but relationship. You know, you don't really go to mortgage and loan and real estate closings, you open a relationship. So talk a little bit about how you take that relationship and build on it each and every transaction.
Yeah, great question. I take relationships very seriously, and you're right. You said a key thing, which is like, you will get exposed in this business if you're not doing the right thing. And I don't think there's any successful real estate agent that has a referral business that does bad business, because once you start doing bad business, the same people that are telling, you know, their friends how good you are will be the same people telling them how bad you are. You have to make sure you're always putting the client's needs first. And just to give an example of this and talking about relationships, I got called and referred to a listing in Greenwood Village. The home was $4 million. I walked the property with the homeowner. This was just a few days ago. And after doing it and hearing the story and their situation of what they wanted to do, whether they were going to buy or, whether they should renovate the house and everything, I pushed them and urged them to keep the property. I said, if you go out and buy a house today, they wanted to downsize, was the reason they wanted to sell, but they were going to downsize and have pretty much the same budget because of where interest rates are today. So I said, do you want to have a smaller house with the same overhead, lessen your lifestyle, or keep your house, have the same overhead, and enjoy your lifestyle where you have right now? And she said, you know what? You know, you're probably right. And I was like, great. I know probably everyone's coming here telling you they could, you know, get you whatever amount for your house. But like this is the more of the real thing. If I was in your situation, how I would act and what I would tell a family member or somebody in your scenario. So it's great. I could get a deal out of it. But like that is the right thing and the right advice to give to that person. So I'd rather do that. And then hopefully they know that we made the right decisions, and hey, they may send me a deal one day, but I don't want to sell people. It's like you said, Mike, I'm not here to sell you and you try and force you to sell a house to get a transaction. I'm just here to build relationships, and the benefits will come down the road. But like, I literally I convinced a seller to not sell a $4 million house.
Mm. Well, and from that, I would guarantee that person is going to refer you some business just because you were so great and ethical with them.
Yes, that, you know, that's all we can hope for, is that you do right, and then people recognize that and they tell their friends about it, and I can advise other people in the right way. Sometimes it is, hey, you should sell, you need to free up the cash, whatever it may be, but just let's all go in with the right intention, and the good karma should come back around.
Right. And you do such a great job of explaining things. So I really love that about you, by the way. But I want to ask you an off the cuff question, because I think that you will answer it really great. And I think that the platform would really benefit from it. So you talked about, you know, how you started as a lead agent going into a referral agent. And then we kind of talked about your social media strategy. Well, if you were starting today, if you were a new agent starting today, what would be your strategy? Would you still start as a lead agent?
Great question. I would no. The answer is no, because the game has changed. Yep. Real estate evolves, market evolves, marketing strategies evolved. I would say that I would start as a branding agent what, like, branding is the new lead generation. Branding is the new sales tactics, and branding is the new marketing. So that is the type of agent that I would be. So you'd have to become very, very clear, very, very quickly who you are in the marketplace and push that message out to the marketplace. And that will generate leads and referrals. And then you need to decide what type of agent you want to be, from referrals or leads. And you can kind of tweak the knobs from that. And just to give people some real world practice of what that looks like is, like, if you're a new agent, probably your best talk track would be, you know, either first time home buyers. If you got big cojones and you want to go into luxury, try it. It would be difficult. I would say start with the investors. Hey, I'm an investor or new or first time home buyer, and really just hone in, push that message, know as much information as you can, and offer the highest level of service and value to the marketplace in that segment of the market. And you can brand yourself on social media doing that, doing short form content. You brand your website in that way. You create an email blast that way. You send flyers to, you know, your friends and family who you do have at the moment, and send that message, because people want to know I'm calling you for a specific reason. Like, they call me for luxury today, but I climbed into that. If you say I am the first time home buyer, you can pick up market share very, very quickly.
I love that you just shared that. Thank you. I think that is powerful information for our listeners and just clients in general. So I really appreciate that. I know it was a little off the cuff, so thank you.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
And, you know, Delroy Gill is such a social media name. If no one's heard of you, they've probably seen you on social media because you are so active. So I just, real quick, I know we don't have a whole lot longer, but what is your social media strategy? How does that benefit your clients in the luxury space?
Yeah, great, great question. Again, you guys have great questions, like you said it. But the it's a twofold method, right? One part of it is we call them levers. We control price, we control marketing exposure, and we control the time. So in real estate, of like, those are the things that are a part of a real estate transaction. So it helps the client from those perspectives. And I'll kind of get into a little bit of those. And then the other part is the brand, what we just spoke about, right? So it's meaning it's building the trust. Let's talk about the strategy of brand of Delroy Gill at Liv Sotheby's International Realty. That is, like, we know we're referral. So I'm not going to get anyone cold just messaging me. They just flew from LA to Denver and they just searched and got on Instagram and like, oh, I'm going to hire this guy. No, but what happens is they did call someone if they're moving to Denver and say, who would you use? And they're like, oh, this is my agent, or I've heard of this guy. Here's his Instagram page. And I want that person who was cold prior to them calling me have 20% idea of who they're going to be contacting before they contact me. So they already know some of my interests. They already know some of my energy. They already know some of my vibe. They know the types of homes that I sell. They have like a warm up from Instagram. So it breaks down a level of trust that would be there if I just walked up to someone in a coffee shop and said, hey, I'm Delroy. Are you selling your house today? Because I'm a real estate agent. Like, do you want to go look at some houses? Like, that would be very awkward. Whereas, like, do you know how many times in a coffee shop somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you're Delroy. Like, I saw your Instagram page. Are you going? You went to that place, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I've been there too. And then now I'm literally speaking to a stranger in the coffee shop because of social media. People feel like we know one another. Sometimes I'm like completely lost as to who this person is, but I'll go along with it because I want to get to know them. I'll be like, yeah, who are you again? But we build up a rapport. So it just breaks down barriers very, very quickly from having that presence online and sharing parts of my life on there that I think people can relate or learn from. And then on the other side of it is now we have the homes that we're selling. And those houses need exposure. So the more eyeballs I have on my social media page is the more exposure I can bring to my clients. And that has helped tremendously from like sales actual record happening. But then also on the back end, it helps me generate business, because when we actually look at the numbers and I go to a listing appointment and I'm presenting to a home seller and I say, hey, these are five homes that are in your area, or these are five homes we've recently sold. Here's all of the views online of each of these properties. Here's mine, and here's all the competition. Here's mine, and here's what your prior agent has done. So I can show those visual statistics to a home seller, and we get probably, we're calculating this to like a fine-tuned amount across all platforms. But when we researched it the other day, we were about 70% more exposure on our listings compared to any other agent in the market. So when you've got compelling stats like that to share with a seller who is getting no showings, and then we tell them, well, this is a case study where the house also got no showings. It was on the market for 90 days. We took the listing over. We had it on the market for 2 days, and we got 70% more exposure online. We got 16 showings in 2 days and got it under contract with two offers in hand. Like, these stories are very compelling to a seller who is in a need to get a job done. We're here to solve problems. And we just are trying to solve them as rapidly as possible and make the transition as smooth as possible for every single client that we're working with. So those are the two strategies that apply to my social. It's home exposure and real world statistics, and then brand recognition and trust being built in the marketplace.
That was such a great wrap up. Thank you. You provided invaluable information. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, Delroy, what's the best way people can reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, the best place, you know, we just wrapped up with social. I think that's the easiest place. As I said, you can get to kind of know what things I like and what I'm into from there. So Instagram is probably my most used platform, and it's just instagram.com/ if you're online, but everyone's on their mobile. So just search my name, Delroy Gill. That's D-E-L-R-O-Y. And then my last name, Gill, G-I-L-L. I'm the guy with the funny accent. You probably can find me pretty easily.
Sounds so awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to the Elite Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.eliterealestateleaders.com.